You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're hoping that you're having a great Thursday morning, August the 21st. We've got a great lineup for you today. In the 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. And we're going to have a discussion, he and I, about the series of events in the beginning, from the beginning, of the Mayor LaToya Cantrell candidacy as a public official, talking about a number of different elements and circumstances and happenstances that maybe we should have known who the real LaToya Cantrell is. We'll visit with Lou Fragoso, president and CEO of the Manning Family Children's. He did this incredible Leadville Trail 100 run and successfully completed it this year on behalf of the kids that are treated at Manning Family Children's Hospital. We'll talk to him about that. The Lieutenant Governor joins us to talk about a number of issues, but more importantly, a new exhibit on the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina that will be at the Presbyter. We'll talk about that. In fact, we will be broadcasting live from there on August the 29th, visiting with a number of officials that went through that horrific event 20 years ago, come August the 29th. We are joined now by the governor of the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. Governor, welcome to the show.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Sheriff. How's everything?
Everything is going well, especially when I see and we have evidence of some reduction in auto insurance rates. That's music to everyone's ears.
Yeah, look, it's a great day. I mean, you and I had talked about this during the session. It was a topic that was highly debated. We took a very unusual approach that was kind of historic, where we said, okay, look, we're going to adjust our legal system because we have to do something about frivolous lawsuit cases. We followed the data, not our hearts, but then we also took a look and said, what could we do better to put a little more sunshine on the insurance companies as well as to make sure that they're not leaving the state with more money than they should. And I think that that balanced approach we said was going to make a difference. Like I said, we followed the data, and right now we've got 20 companies that have filed for rate decreases. And, you know, I looked new. I had them do some research. There has never been a time, certainly in the last 30 years, where that number of companies have filed for rate decreases. So, again, I think it goes to show the people of the state that, you know, if you stick with us, stick with our method, we are going to continue to work to try to bring some relief. You know, and we've got to do a lot more on the property side as well. And those are things that we're working on with the Fortified Roof Program. In fact, I tell everyone out there listening, they can go to my website, and at the very top, there's a banner where they can see the top 10 property companies selling homeowners policies that give the largest deduction, the largest rebate on fortified roofs, because if we can continue to beat that drum, I think that that's the way we start to get out of this crisis. So, look, it's a great day. Really is. Really is a great day.
You know, I mean, for a lot of people, Governor, and I think you would agree, they don't really care what the reasoning is, just that we get it, you know, the reductions. But the truth of the matter is that the insurance industry is a very complicated scheme. And it's hard to point to a singular granular detail as to what is actually contributing. But I think I agree with you. I think, you know, when you do look at the collective effort and the changes, it's all about creating momentum and creating some confidence for folks, because it's really about risk, and it's really very subjective many times as to why insurance companies are reacting or doing things in certain ways. Somewhat like the Wall Street, right?
Yeah. Look, and you're exactly right. It's subjective, and it's also, you know, the other thing it is, it's also a numbers game, right? It's about having the most amount of people, because the more people you have writing, paying for premiums, then that certainly reduces the overall risk. It's the size of the insured pool. And, of course, that's something that we've suffered in the state from, because we've shed 30,000, 35,000 people a year out of state for quite some time, and except for this year. We finally have started to see people come back. I've continued to say that, look, you can fix the insurance crisis, the educational crisis, the crime issues, all by getting the economy in Louisiana where it needs to be. And again, that's something that we're doing now. Right now, we've got 70,000 new job opportunities in Louisiana. I don't remember the last time that has happened. And it's the diversification of where those jobs are that I think is the key to the success that we're having in the state right now.
I wanted to bring something up. You talked about the Fortified Roof Program. I actually had a wind mitigation survey done the other day, and I submitted it to my insurance company, and I got a $2,586 reduction in my premium.
Yeah.
And it blew me away because I keep thinking, you know, fortified roof, where it's one of those situations that the style of my house would make it very difficult to do so. So I said, let me get this wind mitigation survey done. I just got it day before yesterday, and they gave me a credit of $2,586.
Wow.
And I think that's a perfect opportunity to bring it up with you. I mean, it may be something of value to look at as well. I was shocked, quite frankly, but happy.
Well, so. Wind mitigation. Well, you have to email me that information, and I'm going to share that with Senator Talbot. I know that he is the person who's really has led the charge in this area. I'm glad it blew you away and not your roof that's being blown away this year,
the
right?
Roof.
I'm knocking on wood. I'm predicting we don't have a storm this year. I'm really hoping and praying. But look, those are exact things that we need. Because I'll tell you something else too, though. Whether people are doing a wind mitigation inspection?
Wind mitigation survey. Yeah, wind mitigation survey.
So when we find out which basically is the strength of your roof, right, to take wind. And so when we do those surveys, when we implement fortified roofs, they tell me that when 20% of the structures in a given area, in a geographical area, have solid or fortified roofs, or I guess past wind mitigation surveys, then that actually brings relief to 100% of the policy owners in that area. And of course, every time you increase the percentage from 20 and above, you only bring more relief to everyone else as well. And again, I think that's something that we have to continue to talk about. And look, I'm happy to look at it, and I'm going to send that straight to, believe me, get off the phone, I'm texting Kirk.
Kirk knows about it. We've talked about it before, about wind mitigation.
Good. Well, I'm going to give him a call. I'm going to say, Kirk,
I'm just kind of late in the game. A lot of people have been doing this and finally decided to have it done. It's not expensive. I forgot what the exact amount was now, but the reality is you never know. And I was shocked. Well, just got the renewal and said, love it.
Well, I'm telling you, you're making my day. You're giving me another tool in the toolbox that we can put information out to the public. Look, I had a fellow the other day put a fortified roof on in Iberia Parish, called a State Farm agent, got a very steep discount on it. And the agent told him that he was the first one to ever ask for the for that program in Iberia Parish. Now, look, that's on the coast. Look, I can't thank you. I mean, the more we tell people out there, I think, again, collectively, it helps everyone out. Just like talking about these auto rate, lowering of these auto rates, you got to go out there. You got to shop those insurance companies. And I think that brings us relief all the way around. So it's great. Love it.
Absolutely. Let's pivot real quick, Governor. The President Trump had deployed federal military folks to the D.C. area. There's been a number of states that have participated as well with the State National Guard. You decided to do that. They have been deployed. They are there. What are they seeing and what are you hearing?
Well, I haven't gotten a report directly from them since they've been on the ground. I got a call on Friday from the Secretary of the Army asking us if we would. I talked to him about what he needed. I explained to him that, look, we're happy to help the president and our nation's capital. I just wanted him to be sensitive to the fact that we've got hurricanes. We're in the midst of hurricane season and really at the peak. He said, not a problem. Send me what you can. And if you need the boys back, we'll send them right back to you. And so I had that call. And then Saturday morning, the general called me up and said, I got a call. And I asked them how many. They said if we could send them a company of MPs. I told them we could. Then I asked them how soon they wanted them, and they said by Monday. So it's been pretty fast and furious. But I think if you look at the statistics that they're seeing, I heard today, I think I was watching the news today, it's been one of the least violent times in our nation's capital in quite some time. And, I mean, look, Sheriff, this shouldn't be new to us. It shouldn't be news to us. Look what we did 18 months ago when we brought in Troop NOLA, made a pact with the Attorney General and started really cracking down on crime. I mean, look, this is right in your wheelhouse. You know, when you put boots on the ground and people know they're going to go to jail, they have a tendency to behave themselves.
Yeah. Human capital matters. I'm curious, have they reached out to you for any advice, being that you participated in something similar with the city of New Orleans 18 months ago, as you just pointed out, as to the impact, the strategy, or otherwise?
Yeah, I've been talking to General Bondi and the Cash Patel. I don't know if you saw, but yesterday we held a pretty important press conference here in the capital city in Baton Rouge, where we arrested over 106 individuals. We ran an operation, a violent crime crackdown operation throughout the capital city. And basically, and I'll tell you this, a lot of what we were able and capable of doing was built upon the success and the lessons learned from what we did inside the city of New Orleans. And so, yes, I have been speaking up to the folks in D.C. about the things that I think have worked and don't work. And we've let them, know that we're happy to help them in any way. You know, I think the biggest crisis we really have to address is this homeless population. You know, it's starting to creep up in the city again, and we heard the president talk about it in D.C., and I think that nationally we have to figure out how to quit turning, you know, our major cities into basically, mental institutions, because a lot of those people on the street have mental problems, and we should be dealing with them in a professional manner rather than just turning them loose on the street. And I think that would help as well. I think it's certainly a discussion that we must have.
Yeah, no doubt. I've been surprised by Democrats, their reaction to what's going on in D.C. This conversation of crime is down. I get it. You want to feel good about that. Crime is down. That's a good thing. But how far can you drive it down? And is that still, a safe harbor, the numbers that you're at? And then you have the backdrop there of manipulation of the crime data historically. In fact, there's an ongoing case against an individual that's still out there. Then now there's a new one of a guy recently suspended from the Metropolitan Police Department for fudging the numbers. And as you well know, there's now a federal investigation. So I don't know that they really know where they are. But the fact of the matter is, why would you be opposed to more presence when you're out there proactively trying to recruit police officers because you are understaffed, you get something for nothing, and they're complaining?
I don't get it either, because, the Democrats consistently talk to us about how we're not taking care of folks that are in poor positions or underprivileged or just don't have an opportunity out there. And yet these are the neighborhoods that seem to have the most amount of violence. And when you go into those neighborhoods and you make those neighborhoods safe, you're starting to begin to heal those neighborhoods and to give people that opportunity. It's what I said yesterday in Baton Rouge. It's something that I said consistently when we brought Troop NOLA in, that we wasn't bringing it in just in the quarter. water, that we were going to address issues in the entire city. And I think that when you talk to folks around the city of New Orleans and they saw some of the things that they do and they appreciate it. And so you would think that the Democrats would be appreciative of that. But, I, again, look, they're so used to trying to gaslight each other for the sake of scoring political points that we forget about public safety. And I think that's something that certainly has irritated folks like you as well, because you can't have a great country, a great city, a great neighborhood if it's dangerous. And you got to hold people accountable and you got to establish a rule of law. And I think that's exactly what the president's doing in the nation's capital. I applaud him. I think that he mentioned, again, I want to go back to this because I think it's an important component, because if he can, if he really dives into it and he addresses the homeless situation in D.C., I'm hoping that they can do to us what we did in New Orleans to Baton Rouge, which was to then replicate whatever they do in the nation's capital to give us some avenues under which we can come back and really address the homeless property. We can't have people out there, you know, running around and sleeping on the streets and doing all kind of other nefarious activities, because it gives the criminal element a place to go hide.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you know, look, our state, whether we like it or not, we are wedded to the tourism and hospitality industry, and it has such a large economic impact for the state, but more importantly for Southeast Louisiana, namely the city of New Orleans. Human nature is the first impression is a lasting impression. And when you make that drive from the airport to the city of New Orleans, and it drives me crazy, the amount of garbage on the interstate. I mean, I go off the rails every time I make the drive. And then you get off the interstate and you have, and the first thing you see is the homeless population there. That is a compelling memory that people will talk about, tell that story over and over and over again. We have enough headwinds down here. We don't need more. And these are things that I think we can deal with. And if we don't,
absolutely,
it just
look,
makes it more difficult to succeed.
Absolutely. Look, I think we finally removed permanently the camps underneath the bridge downtown. I will tell you this.
I love the fencing you put down there. I've been crying out for the fencing for a decade. Okay.
Well, look, don't worry. I got your list, and I'm checking it off, you know, yeah, as I can get to them. But I can tell you.
Can I update that list?
You mentioned the litter issue, and just this week, you know, I know it's something that's near and dear to the lieutenant governor's heart as well, but just this week I had a meeting with our new secretary of DOTD. Joe Donahue did a phenomenal job for the time that he was there, and Glenn Lede is going to pick up where Joe left off and do a superb job. But we actually talked about how we're going to address litter and maintenance on state highways and federal highways that are under our control as well. So I'm hoping that as we institute that, there'll be a point in time where me and you talk about that and say, Jeff, y'all did a great job.
I cannot wait for that day. And I know that, you know, as you well know, it's a big issue. The lieutenant governor goes around the state talking about it. It's a cultural shift that we must engage in, and we need to succeed. We need to pretty ourselves up. We're in the competition business. You're out there beating the drums, the lieutenant governor as well, because we're competing against other states. They want what
That's
we
right.
have, and you know, and they'll take it and they'll steal it. If
no,
we need
yeah,
to protect
oh, no, no,
it.
They absolutely will. We just look. I'm convinced that this time around, we're going to be so far ahead of them, it'll take them years to catch up to us.
Well, that'll be awesome. Well, Governor, thank you. We know you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us today. Final thoughts?
Oh, look, I just think it's a great day to be in Louisiana, and we hope to bring you some more great news soon.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, that's the governor of the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. When we return, we will visit with the lieutenant governor of the state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. Billy, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Newell.
Billy, I just had a conversation with the governor about litter on the interstate coming into the city of New Orleans. He mentioned that he knows that this is at the top of mind for you each and every day. He just had a meeting, I think yesterday, with the new head of the Department of Transportation, and they're going to try and do something, he says, to address that litter on the interstate coming into the city, which is music to my ears. I know it drives you crazy. It drives me bonkers.
Yeah, you know, when I first got Keep Louisiana Beautiful moved under my office, I met with some of the contractors that cut the grass and pick up litter. Four of them admitted they had never picked up litter, even though they were paid to pick it up six times a year. And several of them only cut the grass three or four times, even though they were paid six times. And at the time, the state DOT director told me, well, they don't have the people to police it. So from that moment forward, I've been on a mission to get the state to give local government or private contractor get out of the grass cutting and litter business, and let's do it on a local level. They can do it better, cheaper, and the local government who gets the complaints, they'll make sure it gets done. And I was so proud of the new head of DOTD, Glenn Leday, to hear him say that in committee, that they're going to look at pushing it down to the local level. You know, a lot of states, the highway departments are getting out of everything but fixing roads and bridges. That's what they're good at. That's what they need to do. And leave all this other stuff to local government. Push the money down to local government. They can do it better, quicker, and cheaper. And hopefully get the roads cleaned up.
You know, you and I had a short conversation the other day, and I was kidding you about you being all over the state of Louisiana. I mean, you see it all the time. I don't know if you've been in that stretch of highway between the cemeteries and downtown New Orleans, but it's filthy. I mean, it's
horrible.
It's a joke.
And if you go on the up ramp by the municipal auditorium to head towards
Baton Rouge, that's terrible.
Yeah. It's people dumping bag loads of garbage on that up ramp. And we're going to be working with, I've had a long conversation with Sidney Torres, and what can we do? Because he's passionate about litter and cleaning up. You know what he's done in the quarter. But what I'm looking for, these garbage companies in every city where they get paid to pick up the garbage, they can donate a couple vacuum trucks and maybe a street sweeper to give the local communities a couple tools that they could use weekly to keep those areas clean. Because those down ramps are too dangerous to walk up and down picking up litter. But you could zoom up them with a pickup truck with that machine in the back, with that vacuum out the window, and suck up that garbage and keep them clean. And if you clean them up, they litter again. But over time, if there's no litter, people are less likely to litter. So it's something we're going to keep our foot on the gas. We've got a lot of good things happening. I had a conversation with the head of marketing for walk-ons about putting garbage cans back in the parking lot and emptying them. We are working with a owner of about 10 Sonics that is going to roll out a new plan to clean your car out when you come to Sonic at these 11 locations. So we're going to get local businesses involved. We're going to give them the publicity they deserve if they step up to the plate. You know, Crackle Barrel is the only company that has garbage cans all over the parking lot. They clean their parking lot in the morning, evening. You never see trash there. If every business did that, it would take a big bite out of litter.
No doubt. Let's talk. Recently, you've been working hard because the numbers are reflecting that the number of Canadian visitors coming to the U.S. has been on a downtrend. You've have pointed out that we really can't afford to lose that sector of the visitors that come to the state of Louisiana. What do you have as an update?
Yeah, we've been having a lot of calls with our team up there, our consultants, and although they're down on, you know, the comments about being the 51st state and the tariffs, we believe that while most people have cut off marketing in Canada, we believe they still love Louisiana. We go up every year and do a big party for the Congre, every 5 years. They come down the next year to Festive International. Those crowds from Canada were very light this year. But we feel like it's perfect timing for us to go up and market. We're going to be going up there for a week, taking a train ride and having events in several cities. We'll be serving Tabasco ice cream at one of the big malls and at the train station. And hopefully to meet with those travel agents, those tour preparers, and then get people excited and let them know Louisiana still loves Canada and get them to book some trips to come back to Louisiana.
Yeah, it's hopefully we're able to succeed a little bit because, you know, I think you know this better than most. We're beginning to see a downturn actually across the country, right? In travel, I know Vegas is having some issues that have been reported on extensively, and you're beginning to see that. And we got to win these little battles every day.
Yeah, you know, this new rail line, which I rode on Saturday through Mississippi into Alabama, and each stop they had hundreds of people in those towns excited about coming to New Orleans on that rail line, and I hope this will lead us to looking at pursuing the Baton Rouge, the New Orleans to Baton Rouge, then Baton Rouge to Shreveport, and then that line that's been talked about from Dallas across North Louisiana, not only for tourism, but for economic development, for companies that move stuff by rail. But because of the over abundance of cancellations with weather and problems at the airports, people are driving and the roads are clogged up. So this having the opportunity to have rail as a way to bring people in and out of Louisiana and move people around Louisiana is an inexpensive way for people to travel that travel on a budget. So we're excited about that rail line, and we're going to partner with Mississippi and Alabama. When people are coming in from out the country, they don't just want to go to one state. They want to go see three or four states and see how Americans live. So it'll give us a chance to get them to fly into New Orleans, and they'll be able to see some of Louisiana and see some of Mississippi and Alabama by rail, because rail travel is such a big thing overseas. When it's available, a lot of these foreign visitors like to take it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I thought it would take a lot longer in time. One accident and the rail's going to be faster. I mean, it's, yeah. And it's, and between, it's almost becoming like Houston between New Orleans and Pensacola with the construction that's always going on. There's hardly a season or a day that there's not construction in that corridor.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before Katrina, that line ran all the way to Florida. So we're hoping this line will get used and Florida will pick it up and extend it into Florida as well, which will just give us another tool in our toolbox to bring people from Florida into New Orleans and then hopefully travel around Louisiana. But, yeah, it's traffic's not getting less. The airline problems are not going to go away anytime in the short term. So anything we can do to move people in and around Louisiana is going to be another tool in our toolbox.
You are going to be at the Nichols State game on Saturday night. And I think it's reported that this will be the first time ever that the Nichols State Colonels are on ESPN. Is that true?
Yeah, ESPN2. I'll actually be there in the morning. We'll be giving away some T-shirts, some red T-shirts, Louisiana Feed Your Soul. We want everybody in the stands to wear red. They're calling the red out. We want a good crowd, people to turn out. To the first 500 people who get a T-shirt, I'll be there giving them out. We want to have a good showing for the Colonels, for the school, and for the community. Having that live TV coverage is going to be a really great opportunity to highlight Nichols and all the great things in that community. And we're excited about getting that exposure for Nichols, the university, and the community.
Let's talk about the 20th anniversary. real quick coming up. You guys have re-engineered the exhibit, the presentation in the Presbytere. You've also set up a number of activities to take place on August the 29th there in remembrance of that cataclysmic event for sure. Talk to us about what we expect to see and what you hope to accomplish on the 29th.
Yeah, you know, when I would visit the museums and I would see people leaving the Katrina exhibit, you know, teary-eyed, you know, it was pretty depressing. We wanted to make sure as we mark the 20th anniversary, we highlight all the positives that have come out of Katrina, the reinforced levees, the people that have, you know, brought their lives back and are doing good now. So although we wanted to keep all of those moments, when you leave the exhibit, on, you know, as you leave, there's a new video showing the wall, all the enhanced protection pump stations. So you leave there on a positive note. Hopefully people that may go through a disaster in their lifetime will see that you can come back, build it better, stronger. So that is going to be an incredible exhibit that will open, will cut the ribbon on that day. That morning, we will have at the Lott Theater. We're going to have some of the people that have gone through Katrina, myself, you know, riding out Katrina 14 miles from the eye in Plaquemines. We invited all the leaders back. Walter Isaacson will be there. Mayor Aaron Broussard. We invited Ray Nagin. He declined. But we wanted to get some of those officials and people that went through it to talk about the challenges then and now and lessons learned. And so that'll be a great panel discussion. That will be at 10 o'clock. At the La Petite, how you say that?
La Petite Theater.
Sorry about
theater.
That. yeah. The ribbon cutting will be at 9 o'clock at the Presbytere. And then we'll have some hors d'oeuvres and be showing the exhibit all day that day. It'll be free, open to the public to see the exhibit that's going to be going on indefinitely after. But it'll be a day to, well, we have some national, international press there that we'll be interviewing with throughout the day, having people there for interviews. So it's going to be a great opportunity. I believe you're going to be doing your show from down there.
So yes, and I hope that you will agree to have join me and talk
absolutely.
About that. You and I actually interacted during the course of
sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That storm many times, if you recall. And
yep.
So it's interesting times for sure.
Yeah, we'll make sure all of, you know, we'll get the other participants to come over and chat with you too, if you'd like. So the public can hear some of the things that everybody went through. I think it's a good time to remember those tough times, but also to celebrate where we are today.
Billy, you've talked about this a lot. Breaking news, radioactive imported shrimp in Walmart.
Yeah. You know that. Yeah. It's pretty shocking. Well, it's not shocking, but, you know, we've been beating on our congressmen and senators for a long time that we need an inspection fee placed on imported seafood, 10 cents a pound. That'll give them the money to hire a lot of inspectors. Right now, they inspect less than 5% of the seafood coming into this country. Some of that they inspect is rejected, chock full of antibiotics, bacteria, things that can really harm you. And yet we're eating this stuff. Luckily, the Louisiana legislature, we have some new labeling laws. They now moved inspection. The Seafood Board under my office and Mike Strain had partnered up to start doing some of the inspection. They just caught some mislabeling seafood in Lafayette. You know, we want to make sure if it's Boudreaux's crawfish tails, they're really Boudreaux's crawfish tails. They're not from Taiwan. So we're really cracking down on the enforcement here in Louisiana. And I've been able to get some of the other lieutenant governors to do the same. In South Carolina, they tested 40 restaurants that said they were golf shrimp. 23 of them lied. CBS News did a national show where they went in 20 restaurants in New York, and every one of them said those were golf shrimp. Every one of them lied. All 20 were imported seafood. So we're bringing new attention. This Walmart ought to be a wake-up call for our legislators in Washington to do something about it. Put the burden on those foreign importers. Add 10 cents a pound. They'll be able to hire a lot more inspectors and get that inspection up to 50, 60% of the stuff coming in, and maybe they'll clean up their act if enough of it gets dumped. So it ought to be a wake-up call that we need to do more to protect that imported seafood and what it's being grown in and what's coming into this country.
Have you had an opportunity to talk to Secretary Kennedy about this?
Way back when we first started, we've talked to all of them about it. We've sent them numerous requests, and I get it. There's a lot of battles going on in Washington, and timing is everything. But I think with the political stroke we have now, with Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise in the leadership positions, and the fact that I've got resolutions passed by all the lieutenant governors supporting this, ought to give them the ability to go to those states and get their congressmen and senators to sign on as co-sponsors before the import lobbyists could kill it in Washington. So hopefully we can get this latest thing will give us a little momentum into getting them to push this legislation forward.
And I did want to real quick, I know that you guys are giving out free museum and park passes at libraries. We only have a minute if you tell us about that real quick.
Yeah, you can go to library.louisiana.gov. You can get passes to get a whole carload in a state park for the day or passes to visit our museums. It's just another way to get our kids in those libraries reading books. And we also have the Keep Louisiana Beautiful thing where you can check out Tongs Invest and take your kids to pick up litter for the day. We're trying to encompass all my departments with the libraries just to bring more attention to our libraries all over Louisiana.
Absolutely. Great opportunity, folks. You want to take advantage of it. Thank you so much, Billy, for joining us. The Lieutenant Governor of the state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. We will see you next week.
Thank you, my friend. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend and good time with the Nickel State Colonels. They're going to be on ESPN2 for the first time ever Saturday night. Check it out. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.